The House will come to order. Please stand. Our flag salute will be led by Representative Esquivel.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing as our opening ceremony delegation comes forward. This is the University of Oregon Gospel Choirs and Ensembles. They're going to be singing the national anthem. And so let's remain standing for that, and then we can be seated for their second number. They are directed by Andiel T. Brown and accompanied on the piano this morning by Zach Polwijk. They are the guests of Representative Barnhart, who is attired in very neutral colors this morning.
I love you.
Thank you very much, U of O Gospel Choirs and Ensembles. You bless us with your presence. Courtesies. We have, let us begin with Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just simply wanted to thank again the choir, the University of Oregon Gospel Choirs and Ensemble, for being here today and livening up the beginning of our session. I would like to note, colleagues, that this is one of the many groups, instrumentalists and singers at the University of Oregon, most of them connected with the School of Music, from the small individual performers to the large, the Oregon Bach Festival, and I would encourage you to participate and learn about their programs. This is one example of the great work done at the University of Oregon. Thank you.
We will now move to our moment in Oregon history. We're looking at his attire, maybe Oregon duck history this morning. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Black History Month. Thelma Johnson Street, 1912 to 1959. Thelma Johnson Street was an African-American artist who created a powerful body of work and an enduring legacy. Born in Yakima, Washington in 1912, she began painting when she was 7 years old. She graduated from Washington High School in Portland and trained at the Museum Art School in the mid-1930s. She was a frequent local exhibitor who worked in tempera, oil, and watercolor. Street continued her work in the Works Progress Administration's art programs and began working in mural format. She produced many works that attracted attention for their intense content, such as her 1943 Death of a Black Sailor, which drew threats from the Ku Klux Klan. As a black artist, Street continued to create murals on the theme of the place of African Americans in American history. Street was also a talented singer and modern dancer, and sometimes presented dance accompaniments to her completed murals. She was a folk artist who traveled the world gathering inspiration for her work, and an educator who, with her husband, established Children's City Projects in Hawaii and Canada. When she died on May 1959, she left a legacy that continues to inform and inspire Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome to the House a couple pages that we have from Staten Middle School, and they have quite the project going on out there. Daisy Bastian, would you please stand up? Thank you. Daisy's 14, goes to Staten Middle School, eighth grader, and she's interested in Spanish, current events, and volleyball, and she would like to be an administrative assistant or a veterinarian. Thank you. And we have April Nielsen. Thank you, April. April's 14 in the eighth grade at Staten Middle School, and she would like to be a marine biologist or a lawyer. So please welcome them to the House.
Further courtesies, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to bring your attention to Dylan West. Dylan is from McMinnville. He's homeschooled. He's in the eighth grade. And he likes martial arts, culinary, radio broadcasting, and how the floor Senate works. He's interested in how things happen on the House floor or the Senate floor, is why he's here with us today. His career goals are electronic graphic designer or a chef. Right now, he's just focusing on finishing the eighth grade, though. But being a chef, someday he'll make his wife very happy, I can tell. So extend your courtesies to Dylan. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, colleagues. On the far end, my honorary page today is Jesse Boyle. He's my West Salem neighbor. I'm happy to welcome him. He's 14, eighth grade at Parrish Middle School. He likes fishing, football, and kayaking. When I asked him for career goals, he was noncommittal. I said, how about state representative? He was noncommittal. Maybe by the end of the day, he will have made up his mind on that one way or another. But I'd like you to welcome Jesse today. Thank you.
For the courtesies, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Jesse, if you would stand. My honorary page today is Jesse Boswick, and he's from Parrish Middle School, seventh grader from Parrish Middle School. And he enjoys Native American education programs, which would include going camping, writing papers, and he has a dog at home that I asked him about. His name's Charlie, and he, when he grows up, wants to be a firefighter, and I asked him if he wanted to put out the fires or drive the truck, and he said probably a little bit of both. So, Representative Matthews, you might want to talk to this man about a future recruit.
For the courtesies, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I scored in the intern department, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you Taylor Smith, who is currently a political science major at PSU with a keen interest in national and international politics. He's originally from Southern California, but I guess we won't hold that against him. Although he misses the sunny climate, Taylor has taken a real shine to the great state of Oregon, and in particular Portland. He has, tells me he has no idea what to do upon graduation, so I guess it's up to us to inspire him. Thank you. Please welcome him.
For the courtesies, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to extend House courtesies. In the upper gallery, we have some kind of sleepy young people from Long Creek. They got up very early this morning to come and visit their capital, and so I'd like to welcome the high school from Long Creek. Thanks for coming.
For the courtesies, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like us to extend courtesies to the President of the University of Oregon, Dave Frommeyer, in the Southside Upper Balcony. He has just been a tremendous citizen of the state of Oregon, serving as Attorney General, won six out of seven cases before the United States Supreme Court, and recently ended a philanthropic campaign raising $853 million for the University of Oregon, most of which is going to educational opportunities in our great research university. We owe him a great debt. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome, former Representative Frommeyer. For the courtesies, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to ask that we extend courtesies to four of our pages today. They're from Leslie and Parrish Middle Schools, respectively, 2 and 2, Mariana, Ronald, Kevin, and Sarah. When they grow up, some want to be pediatricians, some want to go to college, some want to be cops, one wants to be a CEO. Their hobbies include football, yearbook, volunteering at the United Gospel Mission, and picking up trash.
Welcome to all of our pages. We appreciate your service to the House today. Any further courtesies? The clerk will now open the voting system to verify the presence of a quorum. Representative Riley is here. Representative Barker is here. Representative Barton is here. Representative Beyer is here. Representative Harker is here. Excused from business of the House, Representatives Buckley and Witt. All other members are present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 403, 131, 132, 50, 82, 98, 119, 120, 121, and 141.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2811 relating to paternity. House Bill 2832 relating to Medicaid reimbursement of type B hospitals. House Bill 2833 relating to foster youth education, declaring an emergency. House Bill 2834 relating to Oregon School for the Blind, declaring an emergency. House Bill 2835 relating to foster care homes. House Bill 2836 relating to alcoholic beverage licenses for cigar bars. House Bill 2837 relating to federal tobacco products tax and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2838 relating to apprenticeship and appropriate money. House Bill 2839 relating to domestic partnerships and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2840 relating to ballot titles.
Bills read for the first time were passed for the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2276 relating to child support enforcement services. House Bill 2311 relating to service of legal documents. House Bill 2540 relating to unemployment insurance compensation taxes for musicians.
Bills read for the second time were passed to third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2041 relating to road machinery defines road machinery for purposes of Oregon Vehicle Code.
The question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2041. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Huffman votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2041, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 54, relating to certified statements of payroll records for public works, changes content requirement for certified statements of payroll records submitted by contractors and subcontractors in connection with contracts for public works.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 54. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kenemer, how do you vote? Kenemer. Representative Kenemer votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Garrett votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Harker votes aye. Senate Bill 54, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the first bill.
House Bill 2197 relating to workers' compensation.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2197. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was on the consent calendar because of some diligent research by my friend from the Central Point.
Colleagues, could we have a little bit of order, please, so we can hear Representative Schaffler, the carrier of the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker, we don't want him to hear. We want to just pass this bill off the floor. Anyway, for the record, my good friend from Central Point had some questions about this, took it off the consent calendar, just so we can have a debate here and everybody knows what's going on. House Bill 2197 makes a number of clarifications to workers' compensation law for the purposes of streamlining regulations while improving benefit delivery to workers and enhancing understanding and readability of the law. The bill conforms specific time frames for medical service providers who are not authorized to be an attending physician. It removes an obsolete requirement for reporting financial information for a return-to-work program that was eliminated in 2001, clarifies the duration of premium assessment exemption for preferred workers, and clarifies that when a dispute arises about a medical service fee, it can be resolved informally while retaining the ability to request administrative review. House Bill 2197 also eliminates a duplicate statute regarding the, quote, notice of closure, unquote, which is issued to a worker, an injured worker, when closing their claim. After the bill was passed out of committee, as I said, the issue was raised about whether the notice contents would be weakened due to the deleted statute. During the hearing, the administrator for the Workers' Compensation Division stated on two separate occasions, and prompted by my friend from House District 51's question, that the division fully intends to not change any language that is currently required on the notice, and the division has the statutory authority to maintain these requirements through the rulemaking process, which they assured us they were going to do as well. The rulemaking process will take place later this year, and adopted rules will be effective whenever the bill takes effect, in this case January 1st, 2010. And the department has never went back on any promise or assurance they've given me in 7 years in this building, and I'm confident it'll come to be. This bill passed unanimous out of Business and Labor Committee and was unanimously approved by the Management Labor Advisory Committee. Good bill should pass. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, on the very last line of House Bill 2197, on page 9, it says Section 5, ORS 656.270 is repealed. Before this came to a vote, I looked up that statute to see what was being repealed, and then after it was taken off the consent calendar, I was able to communicate with those involved in the committee about what was going to be left in the statutes that was supposedly would not change the language. And so I will share with you what is taken out and what is left in, and then we can make our own decision on this. What's taken out in the relevant wording is under 656.270, each closure shall, this is of the disabled worker's claim, shall contain a notice in capital letters and boldface type. The notice shall include information on the right of the worker to consult with the ombudsman for injured workers and of the right of the worker to be represented by an attorney. So that language is coming out. The language that is not any different that is staying in says, and this is in 656.268, the insurer shall issue a notice of closure. The notice must inform the worker of the right of the worker to request reconsideration by the director under the section within 60 days of the date of the notice of claim closure. Okay, and so that is a little bit, I think, more confusing to an injured worker than one that says you can contact an ombudsman and you have a right to an attorney. Nevertheless, the department has said that by rules they will assure that the workers get the notice requirement that helps them understand what their rights are. Based on that commitment, I'll be okay and will vote for this. But I wanted just to point out to the body that when statutory language is repealed, sometimes it's not the same as the language that gets left in the statute, even though it may be referred to as duplicative. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close?
Yes, briefly, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate my colleague from Southern Oregon bringing this to my attention. And this is what the process is about. We go through the process. We examine the language. We make sure and do our due diligence that what's in there is necessary and not creating any unintended consequences. So once again, I just want to thank my friend and colleague from Southern Oregon and point out the fact that this question was not brought up in AMLAC, but it has been brought up here, and I'm glad we've addressed it, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes Aye. House Bill 2197, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2234, relating to regulation of activities in the state highway rights of way.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2234A. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
Proceed.
Colleagues, House Bill 2234 is a bill that came up was pre-filed last session by the Department of Transportation. This measure establishes a penalty for engaging in specific behavior such as aggressive panhandling or camping or living in rest areas at a scenic overlook. Currently, people can be asked to leave by law enforcement but cannot be cited and fined, so they leave briefly and return immediately after the law enforcement officer departs. This measure permits law enforcement to cite offenses as a Class B violation with a maximum fine of $360. Rest areas and scenic overlooks exist for the safety and convenience of motorists, to provide them a chance to stop and get out and stretch their legs on long road trips, and people who are disruptive and aggressive discourage them from using these rest stops. There's only one known opposition to this measure, and that was the representative from East Multnomah County when we were taking this measure in committee. The bill makes perfectly good sense. It's something that we need to do, keep our rest areas safe to where people can feel comfortable pulling in, stopping, and stretching their legs and using the restroom without being approached by unwanted personnel. So I appreciate your support in this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Call.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, colleagues.
To the bill?
To the bill, sir. Thank you.
To the bill.
I hadn't intended to speak today. I was going to be a yes vote on this. I voiced my concern in the committee. I can give you that concern now. It's not going to preclude me from voting yes on this bill today. My concern that I voiced then is simply that this is a violation. Police are enforcing this violation, and I think rather than giving that responsibility to the administrative state to decide what is important, what should be regulated with regards to the health and safety of our community, that is rather a decision that this body should make, and that instead of giving that authority over to an agency to decide what behavior should be regulated, we should decide that. This is simply, to me, a different issue from an area of concern that we as a body may not have the knowledge to understand. This isn't an environmental regulation or an agency dealing with very complicated matters. This is simply regulating the conduct that takes place in a rest area and could potentially preclude people from having access to them. And to the extent that this bill does that, I thought it was something, an objection that should have been voiced. Did voice it then, but now we'll gladly simply cast a yes vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Widener, do you wish to close?
Briefly. Colleagues, as you can see, now we have a unanimous consent for this bill, and I would appreciate everybody to go forward because Oregon rest stops are of vital importance to the state's economy, and tourists, when they stop, we want them to feel comfortable and warm and welcomed when they go through our state. So I would urge everybody to vote aye on this measure today. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Greenlick votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. House Bill 2234A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 50, relating to deadlines for notices of claim on contractors' payments, bonds, and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 82, relating to preparation of state lottery budget report. Senate Bill 98, relating to veterans' transportation and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 119, relating to discipline by teacher standards of practice commission and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 120, relating to first aid cards and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 121, relating to requirements for school personnel and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 131, relating to name and board regulating naturopathic medicine. Senate Bill 132, relating to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Senate Bill 141, relating to the regulation of escrow agents. Senate Bill 403, relating to wrongful death actions and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You were quick with the gavel this morning. House Republicans will caucus immediately following close of session. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nolan.
Mr. Speaker, that is such a good idea that I'm going to follow the lead of my Republican colleague here and ask the House Democrats to caucus as well.
Further announcements. Remonstrances. Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Thursday, February 26, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Thursday, February 26, 2009. Without objection, House adjourned.